Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Is that the Beatles version? Maroon 5, what are you?
Oh, it's a Beatles song.
Yeah, how could you play Maroon 5 version of the Beatles? Yeah. Still,
what's wrong with the original?
Ticket to Ride. I guess Crash, in his wisdom, was playing that for Mayor de Blasio. You've been talking about Mayor de Blasio. His world travels, numb. What's the big deal? I mean, Michael Bloomberg was in Bermuda every other day. I don't understand why people are so angry at de Blasio.
Well, first
of
all, the mayor was not, Mayor Bloomberg wasn't in Bermuda every other day. They were quiet trips. We didn't hear about them. He would take his private plane down there for a long weekend, and most of the time we never knew he was there.
So what's the big deal? I mean, he was probably in the city as often as Bill de Blasio.
I'd have to look. I don't know if that's
accurate. Oh, come on. You're just looking for someone to break his ball. Speaking of ball breaking, it's the day after Tom Brady, the Super Bowl winning New England's Patriot quarterback. I mean, even to introduce him is kind of silly. But I think he's probably the greatest pro quarterback, maybe player, in the last decade or so. 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 4-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, he was... is being dragged through the humiliating mud, a 4-game suspension Tom Brady got without pay. That's about $1 million hit for him. Not that he can't afford it, but my goodness. What did he do? He more probably than not knew about this scheme to deflate the footballs that he used in one of the playoff games in violation of the league rules. Now, I don't know much. I don't follow it that closely, but the punishment inflicted on Brady, to me, feels draconian, which is hyper-severe. Remember, he got a 4-game suspension, Brady did, for probably knowing about the equipment boys deflating his footballs. So initially, I recall, the Baltimore Ravens' Ray Rice got just a 2-game suspension for knocking out his fiancée in the elevator. I mean, that's right? He got 2 games before the outrage built, and he got suspended for the season. But he got a 2-game suspension from the league, knocked his wife out cold. He gets a 2-game suspension.
And there was video of it. I mean, we saw it. I mean, it wasn't like
I'm not sure they had the video initially when they gave him the 2-game, but I think it was their embarrassment over seeing the video that made them increase Ray Rice's 2-game suspension to the season. But anyway, he got half the punishment Tom Brady got. And Brady's team, the Pats, of course, anyone who follows sports even marginally as I do, I know that the team also got hit so seriously that it's affecting the odds on who wins next year's Super Bowl. I mean, the team losing two top draft picks, right? Number one pick in 2016, number four pick in 2017. Plus, they got, on top of that, another $1 million fine. Even though the Darth Vader, the hated coach, Bill Belichick, they say there's no credible evidence he knew of the scheme. Anyway, so $1 million for Brady, 4-game suspension. $1 million for the Pats, 2 draft picks, and probably affected the winner of next year's Super Bowl. So this is really, really a big, big deal. Now, the funny thing is, since the ruling, and I think a lot of this has to do with envy, this guy is handsome, rich, enormously popular, at least in his home market. He's a superstar. He's married to Gisele Bündchen, the drop-dead gorgeous supermodel. I mean, who seems the perfect wife, perfect mom. And Brady's being pummeled by every sportscaster, sports writer in the country, in the world outside of Boston. The New York Tabs, having a lot of fun with it. They had Daily News had a headline read, kicked in the balls. Another headline in the Daily News said, great balls of liar. The New York Post has it, ball busted. And there's been every other play on nutcracking that you can think of. And central, and this is really why I was interested in the story, central to the NFL's findings of Brady's probable guilt is the fact that Mr. Clean, I mean, he has a squeaky clean image, right, Tom Brady, that he refused to allow Ted Wells, the high-powered Washington lawyer who headed the league's investigation, access to his, to Brady's texts and his personal emails that were relevant to the scandal, right? The cover-up. Now, Brady supporters, Jim Gray among them, I put a call into Jim. He's a good guy. I hope he calls me back before the end of the show. Well, Brady supporters, they say that Brady couldn't just hand over his private communications to Ted Wells or anyone else who says they're investigating this. After all, he is one of the most famous men in the world, right? You saw him front row at the Kentucky Derby, at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It was huge news when Brady snubbed the president, remember, at the White House ceremony honoring the Pats Super Bowl win. I mean, his wife from Brazil, she's the most famous Brazilian since Pele, at least, maybe even more famous than Pele, so forth. So this is why I wanted to talk about the story this morning. This is where you come in, 866-HERALDO. I'm asking the question whether the quarterback is being held to a higher standard than, say, the former Secretary of State, the presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Now, the thought occurred to me day before yesterday, about the same time my friend, my former boss and Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump, tweeted the following. They had no definitive proof against Tom Brady or Patriots, Trump tweeted. They had no definitive proof against Tom Brady or the Patriots. Hillary doesn't have to produce emails. Why should Tom? Very unfair. So as everybody knows, Hillary Clinton used a personal email address while serving as Secretary of State and later deleted about 30,000 emails off the server, saying that they were strictly personal. So who doesn't think that the last thing Secretary Clinton, candidate Clinton, would want is for her political enemies on the hyper-partisan House Oversight Committee, those Republican, hard right-wing conservatives, last thing Hillary would want is for them to have unlimited access to her digital stuff. But look how differently these two protagonists are being treated. So far, at least so far, Hillary is being given a pass, right? Brady not only suspended, but worse, much worse for Tom Brady is that his legacy is tainted now by accusations that he cheated. So here you have the 4-time Super Bowl champ, the 3-time MVP. He will be forever linked to Deflategate. So now Tom Brady is in the same shady league, this great, great football player, in the same shady league as the baseball gambler, Pete Rose,
The Royd Warriors, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, you name them. And even the alleged college rapist, Jameis Winston, who never testified in the sex assault investigation of Florida State. And Winston got drafted number one anyway by Tampa Bay. And Winston was accused of rape, not deflate. I think this punishment is way too severe for Tom Brady. I think so far, at least, it's way too lenient on Hillary Clinton. I think both of them have an obligation to find a way to cooperate with some impartial, ethical third party in such a way that protects their privacy while revealing their shortcomings, if they exist. This punishment of Brady is preposterously overboard, I think. What does Steve think? Thank you, Steve. My first call. Are you there, Steve? Hello?
Yes. Hey, good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
So what are you thinking?
Okay, look, first of all, putting aside whether there's evidence or not what Brady did, if Brady was involved, but let's say he was. I mean, you're talking about the integrity of the game. You know, when you brought up Ray Rice, that he, you know, whatever he did, you know, that's his personal life. Yes, he has to uphold a certain type of behavior to be in the league. I get that. But that has nothing to do with the league itself. Here, when you have somebody who's potentially messing with the outcome of a Super Bowl, I don't think he got punished enough.
So you think that Winston the rapist, Ray Rice the wife abuser, that they can play in the NFL, they're okay, but Tom Brady, because the ball is less PSI, cannot. Steve, is that yeah, where we've come as a world now?
Yes, I do think so, because one is a personal matter. It's much worse. I agree that Ray Rice is way worse what he did, but it's a personal matter, and they have nothing to do with the sport.
All right, I get it. I get it. I get the logic. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. The difference, according to Steve, is that like steroids, a deflated football, I assume, gives you some kind of an advantage. Some physicist can explain that to me. Maybe the grip is better. Not that it seemed to affect him in the subsequent victories, but what do you think? Which is worse? And what about Hillary? Do public figures have an obligation to reveal all in their desperate quest to prove their innocence? Do they have to prove their innocence? Or should the NFL be forced to prove their guilt? Or should the Oversight Committee be forced to prove Hillary's guilt rather than she being forced to prove her innocence?
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77-WABC.
I think the punishment is way too severe for Tom Brady, the New England Patriot quarterback. I think so far, at least, the consequences have been far too lenient on Hillary Clinton for her private emails that she refuses to share. I think both Hillary Clinton and Tom Brady should find a way to cooperate with some impartial, ethical third party in a way that protects their privacy while revealing their shortcomings if they exist. But this whole thing with Brady, to effectively prevent the New England Patriots from repeating as Super Bowl champs over this whole Deflategate, I mean, that's exactly what they did, let's face it. They have altered the outcome of next year's pro football season. I think that is above and beyond the pale, particularly when you see that Brady got twice the punishment that Ray Rice did, and Ray Rice almost killed his fiance. All right, we're going to start here, 866-GERALDO. We're going to start in Brooklyn with Kenny. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, Geraldo, how you doing?
Good, pretty good. What's up? What are you thinking?
Before I get to my point on Tom Brady, real quick, I just want to thank you for all those good times in the 70s, watching you knock on people's businesses and doors and confronting them, and just like me going, what are you doing? You're going to get yourself killed, Geraldo. I'm like, you remember those shows?
I'm still unkilled.
I know. But thanks a lot. It was very entertaining.
Thank you.
With Tom Brady, I want to say, look, there's a thing called circumstantial evidence, which is used in a court of law to prosecute people, and it's done all the time. Hernandez was the most recent one that they got him on. They didn't have the actual thing. But you have
Murder.
The guy on tape saying he's a deflator and what he's doing. Common sense will tell you, obviously, he's guilty. I agree with you. It should not be that severe because you can't compare what he did with what Ray Lewis or what the other Michael Vick did. But he's definitely guilty based on circumstantial evidence.
So wait a second. I want to go back to where we agree. You think that altering the outcome of next season is too serious a violation?
I think he should have like 2 games or if not 4.
Yeah, something different. Now, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? All right, what do you think? Here, Joe in New Jersey. What do you think about Joe?
Hi, Aldo. I agree with everything you said. But the problem is when you start comparing punishments, sentences, eventually everything gets dumbed down to nothing. A guy says I was caught going 80 miles an hour on the thruway, and he says everybody else is going 80 miles an hour on the thruway. Well, too bad. You got caught. If that was a legitimate defense, then eventually nobody would be punished for anything if you compare it to if you just...
But look at what they did. This is my beef, Joe. Not only the 4 games. The 4 games and the outcome of next year's professional football season. It's not only that. It's they have taken this icon. They have taken this guy who, to the people of New England, is like the second coming. And they have made him just another cheater. They have taken him, reduced him from the pinnacle of sportsmanship and admiration. And because of this incident, they have dragged him down to where now he's just another, he's Richard Nixon. Now he's just another bum. I mean, is that fair to destroy a man that way?
Well, I think you nailed it. He was an icon, and I think you have to behave as such.
That's a good point.
But what if that game had been close? If it had been decided by a touchdown?
Yeah, but it wasn't. That's the point. Was it 45-6 or something? What was the score of that game? It was like ridiculous score.
It was a blowout, but...
I mean, he could have been throwing Spalding's, and he would have won.
But what if it had been close? What if it had been only? I mean, there were 2 championship teams in that game. One faltered that day. But what if it had been close?
It wasn't, Joe. But I appreciate the call, and thank you very much. Very smart, Pat. Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Well, I think that this issue is really not that significant, and we should be talking about the fact that nobody is going to President Obama's summit. The Saudis are pulling out. They're angry that Iran, that we are...
Oh, don't get me going on the Saudis.
Okay. But now I think they're worried about Putin not attending. Didn't Kerry make a surprise visit there?
Kerry is in Russia right now, and we will bend our discussion to those international affairs after I have my fun with this issue. And I insist on exposing the gross, draconian punishment inflicted by people whose morals are shady, so they want very much to show that they are holier than thou, and they have affected everybody who watches football.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCRadio.com.
The world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
We're back, Rack's birthday. Kind of saccharine sweet. At least it's from the Austin Powers soundtrack, so it's a little tongue-in-cheeky. The market sucks today, but it's not as bad as it was when it opened. It was down almost a couple of hundred. Now it's down about 100. So it's fighting back. Let me tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the Saudis refusing to come to the summit. I believe the Saudis are the source of most of what ails us in the world today. I think that they are the secret financiers of Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, the Taliban, ISIS, the Libyan extremists. And the fact that their king is snubbing our president, screw them. I think we should snub them on a regular basis. I'm not talking about the North Korean submarine missile launch. I mean, it is disturbing, but I don't know what you do. North Korea already the subject of severe international sanctions. Eventually, that technology, I fear, will be sold by the North Koreans to places like Pakistan and other
other nations, maybe even Iran. Secretary Kerry is in Russia, talking to his counterpart and meeting later in Sochi, Russia, where the Olympics were held, with Vladimir Putin. I'm not talking about that either. Remember Sochi? Remember that was pre-Crimean invasion, and Vladimir Putin was like king of the world, and look at us, and how cool all the everything is, and then now he's Vlad the Impaler. But what I am talking about is I'll talk about Hillary Clinton and the fact that her emails still remain private, including the 30,000 she has deleted. On the other hand, Tom Brady, who refused to turn over his text and emails to the NFL investigating his role, if any, in deflating these footballs. So here's what the vice president of the NFL, and I get to your calls momentarily, 866 Geraldo. Here's what the executive vice president of football operations for the NFL, Troy Vincent, said about Brady's refusal to cooperate. Each player, no matter how accomplished and otherwise respected, has an obligation to comply with the rules and must be held accountable for his actions when those rules are violated and the public's confidence in the game is called into question. Now, I believe a couple of things. Well, here first, here is the defense of Tom Brady, the best I've heard from Jim Gray, the sportscaster. Here,
it's listen. Unprecedented. I don't believe it should have happened. Four games. What Roger Goodell and his staff is saying is that this penalty is worse for the deflation of these footballs that they say occurred, but they have no definitive proof of it. Is worse than the initial reaction that he had to Ray Rice knocking out his wife in an elevator.
You go to
it
the
makes zero sense, and it seems to me that very heavy-handed for the Patriots.
Very heavy-handed, to say the least, Jim, but I agree with you, and it really reveals values. I mean, Jameis Winston. Let's say Jameis Winston, the number one draft pick, the all-time, all-American, great quarterback, Florida State, accused of sexual assault, refuses to testify in his own defense at the probe, either at the state level, the lame investigation the local prosecutor did. He refused to cooperate with that. He refused to cooperate with the internal investigation by Florida State University. He refused to cooperate with any investigations. He gets drafted number one, and he's going on to his pro career. So he is an alleged rapist. Okay? Now you compare his treatment and Ray Rice with what's happening now with Tom Brady. With Tom Brady, the big beef I have isn't even that they have effectively precluded the Patriots from repeating as Super Bowl champions, although they have a great story now. They're going with a 23-year-old rookie quarterback. They have to, what's his name? Well, anyway, look it up. He's a 23, I forget, Garofalo, anyway, someone will look it up. So that's four games. So what if they're 0-4 when Brady comes back? I mean, they can't possibly win. And it's worse. What I was saying is when you take someone's reputation, I'm going to get to your calls, I promise. Let me just say this. When you take someone who has spent his whole life building up a reputation, as Tom Brady has, as being a good guy, that four games is the fourth of the season. But when you make him a cheater, when you reduce Tom Brady to the level of Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez or Pete Rose, you diminish an icon in a way that is worse than the suspension. It's worse than the $1 million by far. From now on, Wikipedia. I haven't looked at Wikipedia Tom Brady today, but I will bet you in the first paragraph, certainly by the second paragraph, Tom Brady's alleged involvement in this scandal will be prominently mentioned. So here's a guy, his whole life, worked so hard, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 4-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, a guy who's been charitable and active and smiling and a wonderful role model, is now reduced to the level of, to the status of cheater. And by whom? By a bunch of league bureaucrats who are faceless. And they're doing this why? To protect the integrity of the game? Really? Really? They won 45 to 7. All right. Here's Mike in Nassau. Okay, your turn, folks. What are you thinking? Mike, you're on. What's up, man?
Hi.
I think that the punishment is a little too harsh. I think they should just give him two suspended games. And I think also that they should make him play with a 17 PSI football for the rest of the season. And let's see what happens.
So what does that mean? Is 17 the... Is that overinflated or under?
I think it's over. I'm not a football
player. Oh, so what you're trying to say is he should have a ball that is... Well, if like throwing a beach ball.
No. It's a hard thing. It's almost like
I get you. I hate catching footballs in cold weather. I get really hurt.
Yeah, but if he.
But does, you know, look at this.
If he does poorly, then
okay, I got it. What about the tight ends or the wide receivers and those gloves they wear, and they put all that stickum on it? I mean, you have a guy catch behind his back with one pinky, and the ball sticks to the pinky.
I don't think they can wear the stickum anymore, but they do wear those gloves.
So, I mean, and when you're running, I mean, they used to shave spikes and base. I mean, there's a million things you could do to get a slight advantage. I mean, you're not exactly putting a roll of dimes in your boxing glove. But all right.
You wonder with somebody like Tom Brady if part of it was psychological, because, I mean, even with that advantage that he might have had, he still goes down as the greatest quarterback to play the NFL. But I wonder if in his head he thought, geez, I'm not going to be able to throw this ball unless it's done exactly the way I want it to be done.
Before Hospital for Special Surgery screwed up my foot, I loved playing tennis. And the tennis racket gets strung. And, you know, after a while it gets a little saggy, so you restring it. And psychologically, it affects everything in terms of the motion of your swing and how you hit the ball. Because when you got those tighter strings, you're afraid you're going to hit the ball a mile.
Right.
You know, that you're not going to be able to control it. That if it's softer, maybe you don't have the velocity, but you have more control. But it is a head thing. I mean, you think it more. It is more psychologically impactful, if that's a word, than it is physically. It's more about the psychology than the physics of the way the racket hits the ball. And I bet you're right about this. I bet that he just like, I'm sure that he wears like pink socks or turns around three times after every, just like baseball players in the streaks.
Or just like his coach. His coach wears that same sweatshirt, Bill Belichick, to every single game. It's a good luck charm.
Buddy Stan, Forest Hills. What's up, Stan?
How are you, buddy? Two things. One, Tom Brady didn't get enough. Should have got more. He would.
What if he played for the Jets or the Giants? If he played for the Jets or the Giants,
he knew about the ball.
If he played for your team, would you be as harsh?
Yes, he ruined the game. What's the matter with you? He ruined the game. He took advantage of the situation and knew about it.
He ruined the game. 40. What was it again?
45-7.
45-7. He ruined the game. Tell me exactly how he ruined this game.
Had he done it now, who knows what would have happened. Number two, let me talk about Hillary. Hillary will testify under oath. She said she'll go in front of Congress and sit there all day, all night if it takes, and answer questions. She's got a lot of hard bark on her. I don't think she'll have a problem. If they really try to rake her over the coals, they will look real bad.
What if Troy, what's his name, the guy from South Carolina, the head, our friend, the DA.
Trey Gowdy.
Trey Gowdy. What if Trey Gowdy says, Secretary Clinton, I want to see your emails that you deleted. And she says, but they were all personal. And he says, how do we know they're all personal? Hillary says, you have to trust me. Should we trust her, Stan?
What did Reagan say? Trust but verify, right? Reagan said that. So if there's a way of getting them to show them, they can bring it back. I know there's a technical way they can bring them back, if possible.
Oh, I'm sure there is a technical way you can bring them back. Thanks, Dan. If it's good enough for him, then it should be good enough for her. If we want full disclosure, there must be some mechanism by which Brady, if indeed he is... because the evidence is circumstantial in this case, if he can exculpate himself by showing some fair third party, non-league related, maybe a federal judge. Would that be maybe the Pope? I don't know.
The Pope.
It is Boston, after all.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
4 minutes to 11 o'clock, Jane from Middletown is on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Geraldo. How are you?
Good. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm talking about Tom Brady. There's no way that two guys in an equipment room would take it upon themselves to deflate balls. It had to come, let's just say that Belichick was cleared. It had to come from the quarterback. So it came from Tom Brady. And if, I think if he had just come clean in the beginning and said, yes, I did that. I've done that on occasion. Other quarterbacks have done that. The fact that he tried to lie about it and cover it up and he feigned ignorance, he said, I have no idea what's going on. And, you know, the suspension should stand, I think. I don't know how many games. And it doesn't matter what the outcome of the game was against the Colts. It doesn't matter what the score is. And the thing is, when I was hearing other callers before and hearing you speak, we always try to, well, look what happened here and look what happened there. That doesn't matter either. It doesn't matter what happened with Ray Rice. It doesn't matter what happens with Hillary Clinton. This is a separate issue. He covered it up. He lied. He knows he told these guys.
Ooh, so strict. We'll be back. Thanks, Jane.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
From Montclair, New Jersey to you, it is Yogi Berra's 90th birthday. Lenny Kravitz singing from one of Yogi's famous quotes, it ain't over till it's over. It's deja vu all over again. I usually take a two-hour nap from 1 to 4. Never answer an anonymous letter. We've made too many wrong mistakes. You can observe a lot by watching. The future ain't what it used to be. It gets late early out here. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. Why buy good luggage? You only use it when you travel. Yogi Berra, happy birthday to the three-time MVP, 15-year All-Star Yogi Berra, 19 great years catching for the New York Yankees and entertaining yours truly. Who am I? Geraldo on 77 WABC along with Noam Layden. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily. We are talking about a lot of things today, but focusing primarily on what I think is the draconian, which means way overly severe punishment inflicted on Tom Brady, the New England Patriot quarterback, for Deflategate. I mean, they really went all out to make Brady pay and pay big time. I want to give you the Boston Globe's take on this, but let me get a couple of your calls first. Here's Keith. What are you thinking about, Keith?
Geraldo, love the show. Thanks for taking the call. Two quick things. I think it's a sad commentary when we've gotten to the point in society where we reward people who break the rules as long as they don't get caught, whether it's business, politics, or in this case, sports. I guarantee you this is not the first time Tom Brady has done it. It's just the first time he's gotten caught.
But I don't understand how you see this as so severe, given the fact you still, it's you know, I always thought the steroid reaction was over the top because the bat still has to touch the ball. The you know, you still have to catch the ball when it's coming to you. You have to run to first, you know, I understand that you don't want people all juiced up, but I always thought that it was a little much to strip Barry Bonds of all his dignity, for example. And in this case, it's not even that. I mean, a deflated ball, a little here, a little. I mean, I understand the rules, but do you kill a guy because of that?
What about the kid, the promising high school quarterback who says, okay, what can I do to get an advantage as long as I don't get caught? What is the message that we're sending?
Don't you think, though, Keith, that there was a way to do this where you preserved Brady's dignity without absolutely making him the equal of Pete Rose, who gambled on baseball, or Alex Rodriguez, who juiced up, or Jameis Winston, who allegedly raped a girl in Florida State?
Here's the thing. There's only one person responsible for Tom Brady's reputation, Tom Brady.
I think you're being very, very harsh. I get it. I don't want to debate with you.
Harsh or not. That's not the point. It's just that it was, you know, either he did it or he didn't do it. And if it's wrong, somebody else has to make the judgment.
And the punishment, doesn't it have to fit the crime? The Boston Globe, obviously, as pro-patriot as you could possibly get, they have a theory on what happened. They think that the sins of the coach have been visited upon the quarterback. They wanted their pound of Patriots flesh from Spygate. Remember that? That's the illicit signal taping scandal. Bill Belichick, he had his directional microphones picking up the signals given by the opposite team. They had the whole place bugged. And they had a huge, I forget what the penalty was, but it was very severe. I know that it was a lot of money. And I think draft picks in that situation also. And now, just as Belichick, the coach, and Brady, the quarterback, are inextricably intertwined, just as Belichick and Brady are inextricably intertwined in the Patriots' tapestry of success, so are their scandals interwoven. Spygate is the shadow the Patriots can't outrun. It is the water that poisons the well. Brady is serving a suspension for two. So the Boston Globe believes that even though Belichick, the coach, has been essentially exonerated as knowing, or there's no evidence to suggest that the coach knew about the softer footballs, they are in the thesis of the Boston Globe, they're punishing Belichick and the Patriots organization by reaming and tarnishing and tearing down this this icon. You know, it reminds me a lot of, you know, and it's a totally different context. But I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this up. But Bernie Kerik, the former police commissioner, is one of my best friends. And he got in a jam and he did time in federal prison. I think the time was grossly excessive. Anyway, Bernie had his name on Rikers Island because he reformed as Department of Corrections Commissioner. He reformed our prisons and made Rikers work. So when they built a new building there, they named it after Commissioner Kerik, after he went on to be police commissioner. But when this is for work he did as corrections commissioner. They took his name off the building after he was convicted, as if to say we want to change history, and as if to say that the fact that he cleaned up Rikers is not relevant. What is relevant is he went on and, you know, he was dishonored by this offense. I don't get that. I don't, you know, he did what he did at Rikers. He cleaned up Rikers. He made right. And I'm getting off my point. But my point is, look at Tom Brady. Look at all he achieved. Look at the superb way he has run his private life. So you not only, in the wording of these reports, hurt him in a substantive way with the draft picks and the fine and the suspensions and so forth, but you tear him down. You take his name off the building. All right, just got word. Jim Gray, the sportscaster, will be calling us in a couple of minutes. So let me take the break a bit early. In preparation, we'll hear from Jim Gray, who's a friend of Tom Brady and spent time with the New England quarterback, now diminished by this scandal. And don't forget, I am, perhaps it's a stretch, Trump and I both saying, wait a second. Brady has to give up his texts and emails, and Hillary Clinton does not. What's that about?
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
22 minutes after 11 o'clock, the Daily Mail, our friends at the Daily Mail, are running a story that says that the real reason Lindsey Vonn broke up with Tiger Woods after the three-year relationship was that he cheated on her again.
I believe that.
He said it was one of their many times apart. He sought solace in the arms of a faceless, nameless woman.
Oh, so they don't tell us anything about this person that he cheated with.
No, she was faceless and nameless. All right, we're going to get Jim in the next segment. Is that what you're saying, Marty? Oh, yeah, the book. What book? Oh, the Sex Addict book. Oh, yeah, the Sex Addict book. We're going to talk about
Tiger, yes, yes, we were late.
Listen to what he's saying in your headphones. Yeah. It all makes sense. In other words, you brought up Tiger Woods because we'll be talking about sex addicts at 11:35 this morning.
Oh, okay. Vince, hi, Vince, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, good morning. You know, there's a lot of ignorance, and I don't mean that in a nasty way, but there's a lot of ignorance surrounding the details of what actually happened, and technically.
All right, Phil.
Let me tell you this. First of all, the ball is supposed to be inflated to 13 pounds PSI. Each team has the balls, and they do what they dress the ball, they call it. And that's a rule called the Brady-Manning rule, where they allow the teams to actually treat these balls. Some guys put mink oil, they rub them, they scrub them, they do all sorts of things to get a good grip on the ball. That's all legal, and it's called the Brady rule. Then they turn the balls over to the NFL, 24 of them, before the game. Well, the NFL is alleging that they, after they check the balls, they check them for pressure, and they look at them, and to make sure they're all legal before the game. Well, they're alleging that after they checked them, they disappeared. And the one guy took them into the bathroom and deflated them. So when they caught one of the other team, intercepted the ball, they went into the locker room, they went to the refs at halftime, and they said, this ball's underinflated. The ref checked all the balls from the Patriots and found that some of them were underinflated by a half pound. Instead of 13, they were like 12 and a half, some were 12. But then he checked supposedly a few of the Colts balls, not all of them, not all 24, only a few, and found that some of those were underinflated. Well, then they came back, and they came back with all these text messages, emails, and everything else. And they found they took the text message totally out of context because it's very normal for Tom Brady to talk to these guys and say, hey, you did this to the ball, because they do that every week, and they treat the ball. Every team does it. It's legal. So he called them up and said, hey, that ball was too big. And then they checked it. The guy said it in the text message. He came back and said, yeah, they were 16 PSI. They were 3 pounds over what they were supposed to be. So Tom Brady said, deflate them. They were way too overinflated.
So this is a defense you are making, Vince. You are making a defense based on the facts. Now, why didn't Tom Brady make the defense that you make so convincingly?
Well, first of all, I don't know if he was even given the opportunity. We don't know if he did or didn't. The NFL is not about fairness. Because if you look, so now they don't have any evidence. You could read that. You could read that report. They said in likelihood and probability he did this, not because of the text messages. They're penalizing him supposedly because he wouldn't give him his cell phone and all his emails. Well, you mentioned his wife. A couple of years ago, his wife made some nasty comments about another player. That player left the team because of that, in part. So God knows what his wife says to him. She's a loose cannon, but that's his private business, and that's her private business. That's his personal phone. It wasn't like they had substantial evidence. They had the equipment guy's phones. They had their text message. So obviously, if they had their phone and text message, Tom Brady would have had sent it to them. And if you get a receipt,
so let me ask you this, Vince. Wait a second. Are you who do you root for in football? Just
Giants.
Curious.
I'm a Giant fan.
Though you're a Giant fan and the hated Patriots,
absolutely,
Brady is being treated unfairly.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you,
I agree.
But there's more to it than just the penalty. I mean, the actual event. Go to the penalty phase. Like, I'm glad you brought up Ray Rice, because a lot of this has to do. The Boston Globe is talking about going after Belichick. I think it's beyond that. It's about Goodell saving face. Last year, he screwed that thing up so bad.
The Ray Rice thing, He certainly almost lost his job, I think.
Now, listen to this. This is very important. You're a lawyer, and you can understand this. They only had the video that shows Ray Rice dragging his wife out of the elevator. They never showed you the actual video of him punching his wife. So then later on, Goodell said, oh, I never saw that. So we're supposed to take him on his word. Did anybody demand that he turn over his personal computer, his cell phone record?
Good point.
They never did that. So if there's one rule for the NFL, it should extend all the way to Goodell. And it didn't. And then you don't even have to look at Ray Rice. And I don't think they dealt with him fairly, believe it or not. I mean, you do something stupid, that it's not murder. He didn't go to jail. Why?
Careful now. You're going into a territory dangerous.
You're misunderstanding. Rice
did.
No, what I mean is they gave him 2 week suspension, and then they changed it because of popular opinion,
right,
not because of the rules. That's
right.
What I'm talking about.
I agree with that part for sure. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I like the thesis that this is Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, trying to save face.
Thanks for holding on. What a patient man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm going to keep the media fan circus going. Hello, Gerardo?
Good, yes.
This is John the Old Man. I suggest...
Hi, John the Old Man.
Hi, Detector. I had to take one in the Army, but I was hooked up to the captain, so I got off. But the point is, a lie detector is voluntary.
Ba-dum-bum. But go ahead.
And you give them both a voluntary test.
They lie detector.
Take it, they got to hold and keep the media going. If they do take it, you know, they're going to tell the truth or not tell the truth.
A lie detector is a little intense. I have to say, a lie detector. I'm not sure that a lie detector is appropriate in this particular case. I mean, what would the lie detector question? I mean, just can you imagine?
That's sort of silly.
Would you give it to every quarterback in the NFL? But I bet you'd have to give it to every quarterback.
I think if you did it to him, you know, you're a lawyer, so answer this question. You know, Tom Brady had to make this calculated decision about whether to come forward and say, yeah, I did this, because let's assume he did, that he was involved in this. So at some point, he had to sit down with somebody. He didn't come up with this himself. He sat down with his lawyers, with whoever, his manager or whatever, and said, okay, what should we do? Should we just try to ride this thing out, which is, it sounds like what they've decided to do, or should I come forward right pre-Super Bowl and talk about the fact that the balls are deflated? Well, they obviously have decided to go forward and just pretend like nothing happened. That might end up working out for him.
How do you see it working out when he's already suspended for four games and his reputation has been totally sullied in a way that is profoundly damaging?
Well, you listen to people, there's people out there who are still not sure, so we don't, you know, and
yeah,
be,
but being
his fans
not sure
will be
whether
fans.
He cheated, you know that everybody that hates the Pats is going to say...
But they hate him anyway.
That he did it.
I mean, you know, I hate Tom Brady, but I think this is totally unfair. But I only hate him because he's so good. You know what I mean? And I'm a Giants fan. We beat him twice in the Super Bowl, so I have really no reason to hate him, but I still do.
I don't hate him at all. And I understand how people don't want him setting a bad example, but I think the bad example really is the league. The league trying to look holier than thou after they allowed a wife abuser, a minor slap on the wrist until it became public and they could no longer deny it. And I think that this is hypocrisy run wild.
Live, local, on it. 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Stevie Winwood's birthday. Jim Gray is one of the best sportscasters in the business. He spent some time with Tom Brady recently, and he shares my view that the New England Patriot quarterback grade is being overpunished. Jim joins us right now. How you doing, man?
Hey, Geraldo, great to be with you. Can I just say one thing?
The sure thing.
The traffic guy left out one thing.
What's that?
Don't get in your car and don't go anywhere because you're not going to get there.
Is that a lyric?
I don't know, but I just heard all that traffic going on. This tunnel's closed. This bridge is
open. Oh, yeah. Welcome to New York, brother.
Just forget about it. Stay at home.
That's why I moved to Manhattan. I got tired of listening to the traffic caster. So why do you think he's being overpunished? I mean, to me, it's Ray Rice gets two, he gets four. And I think it's worse is the wreck of his reputation. What do you say?
I think the wreck of his reputation is deplorable. I think that the NFL is just overpunishing on everything now. I mean, they have totally lost track of what's a minor infraction and what's a major penalty and a death sentence. I mean, it's just so, to me, it's so harsh and so unnecessary. I mean, look at the report, read the report. They'll get ripped to shreds if they go to an independent arbiter, if they can get it out of the hands of Roger Goodell. And I believe that the commissioner's in a very difficult spot here, and he needs to step aside. He turned it over to an independent person to investigate. In Ted Wells, and now he needs to do the same thing and not oversee this arbitration, because if he does, it will just continue to be more of the same. And they set out, in my estimation, to be harsh, and that's exactly what they got. But how this equates to domestic violence, the problem is, Geraldo, the total lack of judgment on domestic violence by Roger Goodell in the NFL has now led to this. And so... That's exactly why we're at where we are.
So Jim Gray, the famed sportscaster, believes that Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, having dropped the ball utterly and been hanging on to his own job by a thread after blowing completely the Ray Rice domestic abuse investigation, has acted in this draconian fashion to take down Tom Brady. But why destroy his reputation in a report that really shreds the squeaky clean image of this football icon? It just seems almost malicious, Jim Gray.
I can't answer that question. You're asking me to get into his mind and the thought process there, but the evidence does not add up. If you read the report, and I have several times, there is no direct evidence that can state that Tom Brady at any time had anything to do with the deflation of these footballs, either ordering it, requesting it, asking for it, or any of that. So I just don't see how this can hold up any place that looks independently at it. And if you look just at the science of this, if your first assumption is wrong, that means your second, third, and fourth, and fifth assumption is wrong. We all learned that back in third grade, whether it was in logic, whether it was in science, chemistry, whatever it is you want to apply it to. So they have in this report Walt Coleman saying he thought he used this gauge, and he said that's the best of my recollection. Then after they go through the whole thing, they say, could it be the other gauge? He said, well, it's possible, so they elect to use that. But let's say they used the gauge that he thought he used. The Patriots are within compliance to 0.02/100 of where the ball should be with natural science, natural deflation. So how they went through this whole process, and if you believe that the gauge, first of all, the two gauges are both off. One gauge is about 0.4 off of the other gauge.
But you know, Jim Gray, the real thing, Jim, the real problem is that they say he did not cooperate. I mean, do you credit that Brady stonewalled, that he wouldn't allow them? I heard you say something about Brady's text messages and his emails yesterday that I thought rang true. I mean, my goodness, to expose his inner workings of his glamorous celebrity life when his wife, who knows what Giselle's been saying in her emails, she once said that Patriots get hit in the hands with Tom Brady's passes and drop them, and that caused all kinds of problems. I mean, what about the lack of cooperation?
I don't see giving a day of your time and answering all of the questions as being a lack of cooperation. If you don't want to turn over your emails and your cell phone, since when? There's no subpoena here, Geraldo. There's no criminal investigation. There's no deposition here. He elected not to. He was pressured by the Players Association not to give up his cell phone. They thought it would be a horrible precedent if Tom Brady turned it over. Because then the next guy who gets a traffic stop or PEDs or whatever it is, the violation may be, they're going to say, hey, Tom Brady turned his over, why don't you? So that's A. B, if they are selective, and Troy Vincent said that they would only have extracted any of the emails that were pertinent or the texts that were pertinent to this investigation, what happens if he is having something that is kidding to his wife, to somebody about this after the investigation has started? And then that gets into print, and it's taken as literal and subject to misinterpretation. And I just think it's a really slippery slope. If ABC wants you to comply with an investigation that is something that they think you may or may not be involved with, does that mean automatically that because they think that you might have done something that you now have to surrender your private property?
I'm with you. Jim Gray is my guest. My final point, Jim, I have to move on, but my final point is you said that Brady will prevail in the appeals process, but it reminds me, I'm old enough to remember a guy named Ray Donovan, who was, at one time the Secretary of Labor and got into a jam. He got indicted, ultimately was exonerated, but then Ray Donovan said, where do I go to get my reputation back? And I fear that Brady is going to face the same dilemma, regardless of how this thing turns out.
I think you may be right, and I think that's tragic, and that's really wrong. And perhaps you should go hire the Ray Donovan on Showtime to get it cleared up, because perhaps maybe he'll be more successful than the labor secretary was. But I think it is. I think it's awful. Here's a guy who, by all accounts, certainly in public, has done everything absolutely right. He's been a great ambassador to the game. He's a great winner. He's won 4 Super Bowls. His accomplishments and credentials have been impeccable. And now, without any definitive proof, or as the actual Wells report says, more probable than not that he had general information. Well, there's an awful lot of wiggle room in that. And to take down a guy over that, I think it's wrong.
Me too. Jim, I got to move on, but I appreciate you coming on, buddy. Thank you so much. And thanks for your defense of Tom Brady. I agree with you 100% on it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry.
Men cheat, according to my next guest, for a number of reasons. Sexual gratification with no emotional tie. Presented with the opportunity without getting immediately caught. Satisfy sexual curiosity about sex, the thrill of the chase, the desire to feel important or special. Women, on the other hand, cheat because they have a lack of emotional intimacy at home, marital or relationship unhappiness, to reaffirm their desirability. Charles Orlando joins us right now. The problem with women is men, he writes. This is volume two of his social media memoir. Charles, welcome. Before I get on to these points, what do you make of Tiger Woods apparently cheating on Lindsey Vonn, and that's the reason why she broke up with him so suddenly a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, well, good morning, and thanks for having me. And it's not a surprise to me. I mean, we could have called that back when he first cheated on his wife, and it all came out Thanksgiving Day, 4 or 5 years ago. Or 3 or 4 years ago. It's not a surprise. Men in power traditionally have fallen into a variety of traps when it comes to fidelity. Either they feel the rules don't apply to them, or they are able to kind of compartmentalize the emotional side of a relationship with the sexual side. Or they just don't care. Like they're down for themselves. They're out to get what they want, and they feel that it's within their rights. Oftentimes, though, the most common reason is that they are trying to self-affirm as men, and there's no better way to do that than to sleep with a woman.
You know, I don't know if that was my motivation. I just liked it, and then I just decided finally in my life, late in life, I got married to someone younger than me. I just decided after a rocky 2000, that I was just going to not do it anymore. I just gave it up. Like, I feel like I gave it up the way a smoker can sometimes have a revelation and give up cigarette smoking.
Sure, and I get that. And from a evolutionary standpoint, we men and women are all experiential learners. I mean, we're made to make mistakes and then learn from those things. So especially when it comes to life and love, and in love especially, we learn as we go. That's why you start out in middle school and you end up with crushes that turn to these crazy relationships that are insane, and you bring that to college where it's different and you try your best, but it still oftentimes falls apart. And then you end up later in life where you're able to put some things together that make sense. So,
or not.
or not, as it were. People are on their own path. You know, they learn as they go, or they don't, to your point.
The problem with women is men, writes Charles Orlando. Tell me about Ashley Madison, this website for cheaters. You went undercover. What'd you find?
Well, I went undercover to get the real reasons why women cheat, which was a train wreck for my own marriage. I didn't cheat just to save to kill the suspense, but...
So your wife knew that you were messing around on Ashley Madison?
She knew I was there for sure. But you put any guy in harm's way that way after a 20-year marriage, you're going to end up bringing out the cracks in your relationship, which is kind of what happened. I mean, I'm an expert and I'm a researcher, but at the end of it, I've got a very normal marriage. I've got two kids. You know, people learn and do things as they do. So
what's the main reason women go on Ashley Madison?
Men forget that women are women first and foremost, and they are wives and mothers and girlfriends second. And as you get into a longer-term relationship, things become very humdrum. They become very routine, and people take others for granted. And women just want to experience that passion and desire because...
I wonder how many of them get in jams. You know, I'm almost out of time because Jim Gray and the breaking news. Charles Orlando, the problem with women is men, but a couple of things. Never forget her birthday. Never forget your anniversary. Upon returning home, the first person you kiss should be a wife. Your kids will be there. Your wife should be number one. Turn up the TV, the web browser, fold up the newspaper, make eye contact. If the toilet paper is empty, replace it. Aim. That's a good one. And stay fit, right? You don't want a big belly flopping over your wife.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking down at your junk and you've got a matted drain clog, you might think about shaving it.
Yikes. Charles Orlando, the problem with women is men.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.